Whenever you hear that theme song, that means it's time for Reflections in the Dark here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund, along with Joe Citrone. We're going to be talking about things that are out in the open tonight, broadcasting live from the Firefall Studios, Firefall Talk Radio on Spreaker.com. We are archived here. You can download them. You can share them. Also, our Blog Talk Radio audience, as well as iTunes. Get the word out. We put it up there. It's free. Download it. Share it. And we appreciate you being here. If you want to support what we do, go to firefalltalkradio.com or supernaturalresponse.net. Wednesday night, 7 p.m. We're here also doing The Porch, a Book of Acts Fellowship of Believers. Sometimes we tie the two shows together, but it's great to be here, and it's great to have my partner in crime, Joe the Drummer Citrone. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great, and it's always good to be here, and I just love doing this. And, you know, it's funny, as you were talking, I can't help but sometimes just reflect here at Reflections in the Dark of, you know, how many years that we've done it, and for the most part, it's been pretty consistent, you know, every week. I mean, with the exception of time off or cases or things like that, it happened, right. Life happens. Right. I have to tell you, I never get bored of doing this show. I never get bored. You know, you might get into that mood where you might be, you know, tired or busy during that day. But when that 6 o'clock comes around, you know that that show's coming and you just kind of get amped up. So it's always good to be here. I welcome our listening audience out there, and I expect no less than a great show.
7 years, we'll be celebrating our anniversary in May, and SRT will be celebrating its 10th anniversary in July. So this is a big summer. This is a special summer. We're looking forward to a lot of things. I can't wait till I'm able to talk about them. A lot of supernatural stuff, a lot of paranormal, and of course, right into our wheelhouse here, spring training reference there, baseball, right into our wheelhouse. Friday night at midnight, which is all around the world, did an invocation against President Trump, his administration, everybody that supports him, and weirdness in the news, brother.
A lot of craziness going on, and you know, we follow politics, and you kind of see what's happening, and then there's the predictability of people are going to protest or be upset with, you know, the way we're moving as a nation and being unhappy with presidents and all these things. But, you know, this time in this day and age where we are, you know, 2017 right now, it is something strange. It goes beyond, to me, at least for me, it goes beyond just protesting because, you know, who's the Republicans, who's the Democrats, you know, who has vendettas
really
on this
matters,
one.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't matter anymore. Now we have to see through that and kind of find out, okay, let's clear through all that junk and let's find out, where are we heading? Where is this nation heading? Where is the world heading right now in the status that we're in? And right now, Richard, I have to tell you, I'm very happy that we're 10th year with SRT and those things are all great and our health and all that stuff. But take everything away and where we're heading, it's a very scary road.
Well, if we go back to the show we did on spirit cooking and the WikiLeaks revelations about Podesta and Lady Gaga and Marina Abramovic and how their connection to the Democratic National Party and everything that has now become commonplace because the documentation are there, the emails are there. And then you see that, and then you see some of the weirdness, and then we jump to, okay, we don't like President Trump, so we're going to get together outside of his buildings and all across the world, and we're going to do an invocation to bind him. And I'm like, wow, are we so calm about all this now that they can just come out in the open? And, of course, we know the media has done this. Movies and everything have made it acceptable. But to the point that you're going to do rituals in public places, out in the open, there's, and I know that these people are the posers. These aren't the real heavy hitters. But I also believe that the real heavy hitters have been doing it already and doing it for a long time. I don't know if you remember, and I've not been able to definitively prove this, but Lady Gaga protested outside of Trump Towers in New York, stood on top of this, on the side of this garbage truck with a bullhorn and, you know, railed against Trump. 24 hours later, they had those riots in the street in the same spot. Knowing what we know about her and her beliefs and what she keeps hidden that has now come out, I don't believe that that was an accident. So now we have this. We have these people that, and this wasn't a one-time deal. They're going to be doing it every waning crescent moon, which is March 26th, April 24th, May 23rd, June 21st, which is a summer solstice night, July 21st, August 19th, and so on. They're going to keep doing this. This is not going away. This is an every month thing. And here's how it came about. Apparently, this group got together, and they were going to do this. And then a writer for a website called Extra News Feed, who writes about the paranormal, Michael M. Hughes, he heard about it. He said, hey, let me get the word out here. And that's how it went viral. That's how it drew all these other people into it and also alerted us about it. So I did some research. Let me share you a little bit of this with you. So this guy Hughes, he writes for the paranormal at Extra News Feed. And he made a big deal. This is a binding spell. It's not a curse or a hex. Dude, it's a spell. Let's just leave it at that. And he told the Huffington Post, it's not about restraint. It's not meant to harm. It's using as self-defense. A little bit of pagan doublespeak there, but then he drops this bombshell. He suggests that the people participating should read the 23rd Psalm aloud before they light the white candle and begin the spell. And I wish I had a sound effect, cartoon sound effect. What? What? You want to read the 23rd Psalm. Okay, let's just look at that from a news perspective here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me lie down green pastures. Leads me beside still waters. Restores my soul. Leads me in the pastures for his name's sake. Feel no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, the whole valley of the shadow of evil. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now tell me something. How does that lead into the opening of the spell, which then goes, hear me, O spirits of water, earth, fire, and air, heavenly host, demons of the infernal realms, and spirits of the ancestors. And they're told to light an orange candle. I call upon you to bind Donald J. Trump so that he may utterly fail. He may do no harm to any soul, nor tree, nor animal, nor rock, stream, or sea. And then they're supposed to burn a picture of him and chant, so mote it be, as well as you're fired over and over. And I sat here. I didn't know whether to laugh, but how is it the 23rd Psalm ties into all that?
Well, you're right. You don't know what to laugh. You don't, you totally get blindsided. But the only conclusion that I have drawn up, you know, over the past few months and trying to ponder all this stuff and what's happening, how all these different belief systems are spilling over. I think right now, every religion is rising and different beliefs and people even creating their own religions. Every day there's something new that's coming out or a different tweak. I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to fuse a combination of various religions and beliefs and Christianity, of course, and prayer. Because if they can start, listen, if they can start invoking spirits but yet using psalms, think of all the people who are not quite there as far as where they need to be. They're young Christians.
Right.
they may be easily influenced to say, okay, this is very easy. This has to be okay because they're saying Psalm, and Psalm is in the Bible. And why would they be quoting Bible passages if they weren't holy or good, should I say?
Right.
And that's what I think was happening. We're fusing and mixing seeds. We're mixing religions and conforming this New Age Christianity. That's what I'm seeing right now.
There's no doubt about that. And anybody who knows me and follows me on social media, I posted a video response to this on Friday. Put it on SRT's Facebook page. It's been viewed about 1,000 times. It's also on the SRT website on the video page. One of the comments, obviously somebody who saw it from somebody else sharing it, was a Wiccan. She goes, well, these people are Looney Tunes. We don't do anything to harm. What we do is not meant to harm. And I didn't want to get into it. I didn't want to attack or offend. But I came out of white witchcraft. And we can say whatever we want. But the fact is, you're using a power that doesn't come from Almighty God to do your will. So mote it be. So may it be. Whatever it is you wish to be. Now, you can say, I'm not harming anybody. But if you're binding them, then you are restricting them, and in a sense, you're doing harm. But then we're going to tie the 23rd Psalm to it, and you're right, Joe, that is part of the cover-up. That is part of the watering down. Hey, it's okay. It's okay. These guys, they don't mean any harm. They just believe differently than we do, and they quote the Bible. But that's when it led me into looking at something else. The whole 1960s was big on pagans coming out of the closet. And the big pagan movement of the 60s transcended into witchcraft practices of today. And it's become a very prevalent religious movement. Matter of fact, Wicca is one of the fastest growing religions in America.
Huh.
Now, we've talked about this before. But when I looked at the news covering them and then giving them, you know, coverage and the pictures and all the things they did and all the articles and all the news, traditional mainstream media carrying these stories, it just struck me that they made a major jump in credibility. No matter how ridiculous, burn the picture, burn an orange candle, say you're fired, you're still doing a pagan ritual with the candles, with the pentagram, call it what you want. It's a pentagram. It's a five-pointed star in a circle. But there was a book written by called Witches of America by Alex Marr. And what she did is she went around, she found modern witches, young men and women. We know it's mostly women. And, you know, it's a grab bag of pagan traditions, and the culture celebrates what they do. Movies, television, mainstream media. If you remember last year, before the candidates were chosen, there were the witches for Bernie, who were using magic for him to get the nomination. They didn't do so well. There were groups called 16 news articles, magazine articles, 16 signs. You're the witch of your friend group. BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed has its own witches council of staff writers who are witches who give guidance. The New York Times reported on the social and creative group of 20-something professionals in Brooklyn called the Witches of Bushwick. So we can laugh, but the New York Times wrote that article. And as much as we can bash the Times for what we know about their bias, they're still a well-respected around the world. So somebody picks that up who doesn't know what we know, doesn't listen to reflections in the dark. It gives them credibility. But when you trace this back to Aleister Crowley and his Thelema religion, and the inspiration for American paganism is a man named Gerald Gardner. When you begin to look at what took place on Friday and what will take place every month here on out, it's out in the open. They're no longer hidden. They're no longer in the shadows or in the dark. They've gone mainstream.
Absolutely, they have. And I've got some of my notes here. And obviously, we could do a whole show or two or even three on witchcraft and paganism and you know, Salem and what's happened in New England and what's going on in the world. But here's some interesting facts. The American Religious Identification Survey gives Wicca an average annual growth of 143% for the period 1990 to 2001, going from 8,000 to 134,000. That's U.S., that's for the U.S., similar for Canada and Australia. According to the Statesman, Anne Elizabeth Wynne claims, the two most recent American religious identification surveys declare Wicca, one form of paganism, as the fastest growing spiritual identification in America. Wicca is America's fastest growing religion and is anticipated by some Christian religious experts that it will become the third largest religion in the United States early in the 21st century, behind only Christianity and Islam, which is our offer. Now, check this out. Now, this is now it, their whole strategies and how they're blending in is making sense when I pull this article out. Witches are often invisible, not literally, of course, but the women and men who consider themselves witches or pagans don't always announce themselves in goth gear, tattoos, and piercings. Many are just as likely to dress in utterly innocuous ways. In the daily uniforms of, say, a single mother driving her kid to track practice, a grade school teacher, a tech entrepreneur, or a cashier at Trader Joe's. Morpheus, the pagan priestess who served as my personal entree into the witchcraft community in the Bay Area, was actually working for an environmental protection group when I first met her. She'd drive to work in a pickup, dressed in khakis and a hoodie, her hair in long red braids. The local ranchers she consulted with had no idea that she regularly hosted rituals under the moonlight out on her property, just a few miles away. Some witches choose to remain in the broom closet, as they call it, because they work for the government or with children, live in a conservative community, or simply afraid that the word witchcraft still carries too much baggage. At the same time, since the 1980s, pagans have been gathering in outdoor festivals and indoor hotel conferences all around the country, sometimes in groups of a few thousand. And in the rise of the internet in the 90s, vast networks have also spread online, making it that much easier to someone craft curious in an area without visible pagan presence to connect with a mentor in a chat room. While Hollywood horror films have unfairly, it says in quotes, made witchcraft out to be the work of the devil, they've gotten plenty of details right. Pagans are not interested in worshiping the devil. Many say that Satan, that the Satan of Christianity, is a god they don't even believe in. So that's a major strike against the Hollywood horror movie depiction of witchcraft. On the other hand, there is a certain amount of drama and flair to ritual magic that the movies have come close to getting right. Witches do gather in a circle to perform rituals, sometimes outdoors, under the moon. They use wands and ritual daggers to guide magical energy in the right direction. They chant, sometimes in ancient languages, depending on a specific tradition a person is trained in. They may also practice magic while sky-clad or in the nude. This isn't an invention to sex, but instead a way of letting go of mundane material world and entering a heightened state that allows for more magical powers. Most witches follow a strict moral code. Listen to this. Returning to the sinister devil-worshipping thing. The horror movie assumption that anyone labels herself a witch is out to harm others is false and unfair. This community follows an ethical standard that's similar to the concept of karma. The threefold law warns that any action you take will come back at you three times over. Or, for the witches of Wiccan tradition, there's the Wiccan reading. and in no harm, or do what thou wilt. Follow your own lead as long as you don't cause harm to anyone. Now, you take all these things, and these are just a few deep articles of many different things that are happening in the world with pagans, and you see what we're going on with wars with Islam and Christianity and what's happening behind the pulpit, and you take these regular normal people who work good jobs, who have great morals in their minds, they have no harm, they don't wish to hurt anybody, have nothing against Christians, they practice in a very quiet setting, they try not to let things go too much, and they believe that everything is love. And I think because man and people now, genuinely what's happening in the world, are so depleted on what to believe and what not to believe, this witchcraft, this rebirth into paganism is being received as something really fresh and new again. It's regurgitating, it's circling around, and now it's being most widely accepted as a household name in religion, and that's witchcraft.
The interesting thing is, I get that. I get where they're coming from. And that's why I said most of these people that they show on the news are posers. They got the outfits, they got the hood, they got the whole bit. The real people aren't doing that because, first of all, they don't want to lose their jobs and they don't want to be labeled. The heavy hitters, the ones who know what they're doing, they're bank presidents, they're college professors. You know, some of them are in the media, news. They're in Hollywood for sure. But they are traditional, everyday people, and they keep it to themselves. I remember when I was in Tallahassee, being a government capital and multiple universities, there was a lot of witchcraft. There were a lot of witches in that town. And they were just regular, everyday-looking people. Until you confront them with the fact that what they do is the antithesis of the living God. They are celebrating the Sabbath. They are celebrating pagan practices that go back to Babylon, that go back to the fallen. And they for the most part, do not like when I draw that line in the sand, especially when I say, hey, I came from your world. I did what you're doing, thinking I was a good person, and that what I was doing was okay. It was white magic, white witchcraft, which is what Wicca really pretends to be. But the fact is if you trace back to the power source, you don't go to the throne room. You don't go to the angelic host, the heavenly host. You go to the fallen angels. You go to the watchers that fell on Mount Hermon. You go to what they taught humanity. And it goes into a very dark, eternally damning place. No matter how good they are, it won't matter. But the thing that has struck me about this particular event is, as you said, how widely accepted it is and will be, because they're targeting this common enemy that the media has done its best to misrepresent. Yeah, he ruffles people's feathers, and I think he does it on purpose. But when you look at what they say and what the truth are, it just tells me that the lines have been drawn. And there's no getting away from this confrontation between darkness and light. Now, maybe it'll wake up Christians. As I said in a little video I did, maybe for one night. I don't think they'll hold to it. In fact, some heavy hitter, I won't even mention his name, I'm not a fan, he just blatantly said, oh, we dealt with that. I bound those demons. They're done. And I laughed out loud when I had that repeated to me. That's not how warfare works. We're in a war. These things are supernatural beings. They're not done. They are definitely not done. This won't be the last we hear of this.
No. Well, now let me say this. Now, listen. I'm going to throw this question out to you only because, as you were talking, it just kind of a little bulb just kind of flickered a little, you know. So here's my thoughts. I'm not saying there's any justification for what people are doing and what they're seeking. And I don't throw you into the equation, obviously, because as far as I'm concerned, you know, your Bible shows are very powerful, and I love them. I listen to them all the time, and if more people would listen, they'd probably have a whole different view on Christianity just because you stick to the Word. But my question is, taking what we're seeing now in the world and what's going on behind the pulpit, I almost think that I don't want to blame. I don't want to blame the pulpit. I don't want to blame the church. But if we would get our priorities as a church, as a whole, and start emphasizing and focusing on the things that we need to, and maybe bring a different dynamic or a new way of teaching the gospel, that maybe people would take it a little bit more serious. But it's hard to take it serious when your motives always, you know, seem to be on prospering and finances and blessings. And that's where I think we're losing a lot of people. If we would stick to the Word, if we would stick to the basics of what we need to do, then I think people would take Christianity seriously, or some, I'm not talking for everybody, but would take it seriously, that they would want to seek it. So I'm not giving them a lot of these people who are lost, say, who need to be saved, healed, and delivered. I'm not giving them a hall pass, but I'm just saying that if we would lead by example in the way that we need to, I believe that we could definitely rescue a lot of these people who are just probably veering off a little bit because what they see on TV is not cutting it for them. And they feel that there's no realism on a lot of the stuff that they see flipping through the channels.
When you look at why we're losing our youth, many of them to the occult and paganism and Wicca, it's for the reason that they go to churches that are dead. They go to churches, they don't feel a presence of God. They go to a church and listen to messages that don't stir their heart, don't help anybody. And we know the hypocrisy, and I'm not saying they're all like that, because I've been in good places, I've been in bad places, and the best church I ever had was the home church we had, where we ministered to the homeless, and signs and some wonders happened, and people got healed, and they got delivered, and delivered from alcoholism, and turned their life around, and we were living the gospel. People aren't seeing that. What they get shown to them on TV and through the media are the prosperity guys, are the apostolic reformation, the guys that talk signs and wonders and put on a really good show. But the truth is, towns aren't being changed, lives aren't being changed, marriages are still breaking up. And so people are looking for something else. So I'll give you that. I will give you that. And speaking of a hall pass, hold on to it. I may have to go to the bathroom. Just kidding. The whole thing is we have not been like Jesus. We have not been like Yeshua. So they're looking elsewhere to find that, and there are other things that will offer that to them. That's how I went down that road. Raised Roman Catholic, sat in a Roman Catholic church. I was slapped, I was sprinkled, I was tapped, you know. I could, you know, do the rituals and everything that went with it. But there was no life, and I was looking for more, and white witchcraft Wicca offered that to me. But the truth was, I was lost. What I was looking for could only have been given to me by a Savior and by my Heavenly Father. And now that I know that, that's why we do what we do, and that's why we help the people we help. But I think where we are now in the onset of the days of Noah, and we've been warned about the lying signs and wonders, and that the fallen will be doing things that people have not seen before, and they will be deceived. But this event is the beginning of not just an indoctrination. Hollywood's already done that. It's the coming out. It's the, hey, it's okay for me to do this ritual in a public park at 1 o'clock. Nobody's going to care. Brother, we've never seen that before. We've seen the, they do it in the woods or they do it around the campfires and they do it in the homes or the backyards. But I'm telling you, we're about to see this right out in the open, everyday stuff, and nobody's going to care. People aren't going to look. They aren't going to blink. And what happens when those people doing it are no longer the posers and no longer the players, but they're the real deal and they know full well what they're doing?
Wow. I think they would be slapped, tapped, and sprinkled. So, you know, it's true. Let's go back to the 70s and early 80s, mid-80s, that if you even talked witchcraft, and I'm not saying it was like that everywhere. I'm sure it was, you know, a little bit more open. But, you know, when you come from that Catholic background, that was taboo. You couldn't even say anything about witchcraft because either your aunts or your grandma would say, you know, at least for me, it's like, if I ever talked about that, oh, no, Joey, that's bad. That is no good. I mean, that is really, and they would scare you into like, oh, I won't even answer that question. Ask that question again. But
yeah, they'd give you Malocchio with the
exactly.
fingers. With the fingers.
They would do it with the fingers, and I'd be like, okay, I'll be quiet. So it would brainwash you to like, oh, I better go to church on Sunday and say some prayers for this. But
go gargle with holy water. Get out of here.
Exactly. And I would be right. Exactly. My God, my aunts would be kissing their pictures. They would kiss it all the time. I used to say to them all the time when I used to walk in their house, it'd be like a little shrine, and they have like St. Jude, and they say in St. Christopher, and you know how it was back then. They would be kissing all their pictures and doing, and I'd always say, why are you kissing your pictures? And they'd have lipstick on them, and they'd be all proud of them. But here's the thing, though. it's so crazy. Oh, with the prayer beads. I mean, you know. Listen, you know, when you come up from Italian family. With the way they were. But I will say this. They did love and believe, you know, God as far as what they were taught in their morals. And to be able to say stuff like witchcraft or talk about demonology or anything like that, that was taboo. And then in the 90s, you know, a little bit wave, things started changing. Charmed comes out and that, you know, and actually it started with the movie The Craft and then went into Charmed. And then we can see how things kind of just changed along the way. And now there is no fear. There is no that fear factor because, you know, and I know it, we're told that if we do this, you know, when we don't go to church, you know, we're gonna suffer for it, or at least we're going to pay for it. And we were scared to not even want to do that stuff. But right now, we don't have that. We have it where, like you said, you have the prosperous. You have the people that are talking about those things and how to make money and get rich quick and all those things. And some of those signs and wonders are just really out there. So as far as some of those signs and wonders, things that to me borderline a mixture of Christianity and paganism as it is. I mean, Come on, gold dust falling and all those crazy stuff. But the point of what I'm trying to get at is we've come to that there is no fear factor and there is no respect on Christianity. And we have to get that respect back. We have to somehow at least keep pushing that maybe we will wake up. You know, we will all wake up as a church to say, hey, listen. Granted, there are people that are going to be coming straight out doing the rituals and like you say, and doing all those things, but we cannot also cast aside the people that are lost, the young, the youth that's lost that probably don't want to be even tapping into this stuff, but they're so lost, we can't turn our backs on them. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that somewhere down the line, there's going to be that hunger back for God, but I think the only way to do that is to get back to the basics, and that's to be in the Word of God. I think anything else short of that is really just kind of putting your own label on what you think Christianity is, and I think that's where we're suffering.
Or you can just wait for E.T. to show up and tell you who God is and that they made you, and I don't know if you saw it on the news, but NASA announced on Thursday they have found seven planets that they call the Holy Grail for planet-hunting astronomers, that out of those seven planets, five of them are possibly inhabitable with life and probably have water. British astronomer Dr. Chris Copperwheat, he's from the Liverpool John Moores University, he's a part of the team that found them. He said, quote, "The discovery of multiple rocky planets with surface temperatures which allow for liquid water make this amazing system an exciting future target in the search for life." The original guy was Michael Guillon of University de Liège in Belgium. They found these planets and they just simply named them TRAPPIST, TRAPPIST 1, B, C, D, E, F, G, and H. And what they did was they just determined that one is 8% the size of our sun, slightly bigger than Jupiter. B, C, and D are too hot to support water, so they're probably not likely to have a chance for life. E, F, and G are in what they call the Goldilocks zone, means they're not too hot, they're not too cold, and they could have oceans. And H is likely to be too cold or too far to have water. So the six of the inner planets are possibly similar mass to Earth, and temperatures will range like from 0 to 100. But what they're all excited about is that now, as they keep finding more and more planets and more systems, solar systems, the possibility of life elsewhere becomes greater than it ever has before. But here's what former NASA researcher and professor of applied ecology, Steve Poynting, said. "It opens the possibility that for the first time we could be able to survey planets where life has evolved independently. But it won't be as we know it. Life on Earth developed through a massive series of fortunate events. There's no reason why this shouldn't occur on other planets." He believes there are 30 billion other Earth-like planets out there. Now, I'm excluding the biblical aspects here. I'm just telling you what he's saying. I love this quote. "It's not going to be Angelina Jolie or Johnny Depp up there. It's probably going to be little green slime. So we shouldn't get too excited anytime soon." But then again, they are doing the Academy Awards in Hollywood. So maybe there are aliens with us now talking about green slime. I had to throw that in. So rather than little green people, we'll see bugs.
we're going to see bugs.
We're going to see bugs. That's what he said. You know Angelina Jolie or Johnny Depp, but you're going to get bugs. Okay. The timing of this announcement, the show we did on UFOs and the ramping up of UFO sightings and the release of the CIA stuff and Churchill's statement on it. Now, all of a sudden, within weeks after that, we have these new planets which could hold life. And then we get a report out of New Zealand this very week that the sightings of UFOs are at an all-time high since 2010, averaging 45,000 a year around the world.
Wow, that's just, and you know, and we talked about this last week, in which I thought last week's show was really incredible because we touched on a lot of stuff, especially dealing with UFOs and the whole aliens. And you know, that comment that you made, if they're not going to look to Christianity, are they going to look for possibly the alien gospel and what's going on there? And the answer is yes, yeah. For in my opinion, because you know what, once again, and I'm not bashing the church, so nobody out there, please don't think that. I'm just saying what some of those shows and churches and what they're doing and what they're teaching, I would find it on, you know, more believable that somebody convinced me, if I'm growing up in today's day and age, I think more on a scientific aspect, you could probably prove to me, at least get my ear to talk about the alien and the whole alien gospel theory. And even that might hold its weight over what I'm seeing that's going on TV shows. And like you said, it's the name it and claim it. It's the prospering stuff. It's just the way that they do things. A certain churches and people just have their way of doing things, and everybody has their motives, and I understand that. But once again, you take a situation like the whole alien thing. Listen, remember we had that conversation? We talked about, what was it, Katy Perry, that talked about, what was the song she did? It was called Extraterrestrial, I believe
yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
And that was once again. So
that was like 5 years ago, right?
That was like 5 years ago, yeah. When you think of the fascination with the music, as we talk all the time, what we're seeing on shows, and it all started with the whole ancient aliens, and that really put a planted a seed in a lot of people's heads. And I'm sure a lot of people who wavering in their faith also, they gave an ear to that whole theory about aliens. And you can color code it so easy, because whenever they talked about God, even on those shows, they would say, well, we're not saying that God doesn't exist, but I'm saying that I can't see God doing this, or my God wouldn't do this, or it wouldn't be depicted this way. So there's always a way to twist and mix so many truths with the lies, as you know, and that's just straight out of the pit of hell anyway. When you mix the truth with lies, it's very easy to sell that to somebody who's easily influenced or struggling in today's world.
You know, I was thinking about something, and this may be another light bulb moment, but all of these TV shows right now, whether it's Supernatural, the ABC Family, which is now called Freeform, Shadowhunters, there's a word that keeps coming up, Nephilim. And I'm beginning to wonder, and I was guilty of it because I was a part of that fringe movement for a very short time, and I'm done that movement. I flushed that movement. Very deliberate wording there. I'm wondering if the enemy used that fringe element of the church to help set up their arrival. Because 5 years ago, you said the word Nephilim, nobody knew what you were talking about. 5 years later, it's a common word in the lexicon of these youth. And so now they go, well, that's you religious guys. You see it one way, but we believe you, but we think they're good. And we think that they're going to be a part of the change of this world. And look at all the ugliness and all the fighting and all of the wars and the Illuminati and what they're doing to the world. These guys are going to come back and fix things. But not only that, their hybrid offspring are already here. That's what these shows and these movies are telling us, right? And there's been no proper, in my opinion, biblical response to that. Because even the response coming from the fringe community, in my opinion, is error. It's offline. It's not focusing on what the important stuff is. It's got you figuring out, you know, where are the bones buried and why are the heads so big and can I get a replica of one of those heads for my home? The only bones I care about are the ones that are not in the tomb in Jerusalem. All these other bones that are in the ground mean nothing to me. I already believe they are what they are. That's not what I'm worried about. But in all of this, as we're talking and I'm thinking and just replaying all the stuff in my head, the enemy is taking advantage of it even when we tell the truth. You get what I mean?
I do. I do get what you mean. And I'm starting to I understood it much more clearer listening to you talk about it for the past few minutes. It's true. You couldn't say Nephilim 5 years ago. They would think that we're crazy. Then you have the speakers and the people that are going out there regurgitating stuff that talking all about the Nephilim and things that we already know about. It's no big deal. We don't care about the bones. We don't care about where they are. We know that they've always existed. We know this from Genesis 6. So that's never been the problem. But you're right. When you think about it, it is so received, and shows are talking about them. But why not depict them as being the good ones?
There you go.
So now,
but
all
that's
of a
what
sudden,
they are saying.
Well, no. And I know that. But what I'm trying to say is I agree with you. 5-6 years ago, they were considered that either we were off the wall or people were off the wall for talking about these. Oh, there's no such thing. There's no way, you know, angels came down and they had intercourse. And that whole concept was so taboo. But now they're like, okay, now we're going to receive it. We're going to tweak it a little bit. And now we're going to say that they're the good guys. So once again, evil is glorified for being good through an offspring or through the whole concept, because now having sex with you know, vampires and angels and aliens, it's all normal now. So now we can reintroduce this, but let's introduce them and tweak them in a very more seductive, receivable, down-to-earth way. And now you can go look at, now you can go take Genesis 6, and I guarantee it, you will look at it a lot differently than you might have looked at it 6-10 years ago.
You know, I remember when we used to talk about that, and I would be, you know, at some of those events or on other people's shows during that year, 2-year period of time, there were some people within the Christian community that assailed us, that wrote vicious, vicious blogs about us. And some of the loudest voices from back then against us are now out there promoting it. They're talking about the Nephilim. They're writing books on it. They're on all these various fringe internet TV shows. And I'm looking at this going, are you kidding me? You said this one guy in particular, whose name I'm not going to mention, you said some really vicious things about those of us that believe this. And now you're the go-to guy about this information all of a sudden. And I don't care. I don't care about the Nephilim. I don't care. I get it. I know they're there. I believe that they're going to appear. My job in exposing all this is to get people to understand there's only one answer. There's only one way. There's only one thing that's going to deal with that. And that's to be saved, born again, filled with the Spirit, and doing the same for others. But we have reached this place where everything is out in the open. To the point now, if you look at the elements that are invading the church, oh, Jesus isn't the only way to God. All these religions believe in God, so they all eventually find their way to him. Oh, there's no hell. He didn't really mean that. Jesus never talked about hell. Of course he did. He mentioned it a number of times, but this is not the show for that. But where we are now is everything's out in the open. Everything's good. Wasn't that the witch's thing? Do what you will. Do what feels good. So mote it be. You see the subtle desensitization of not only our minds, but our hearts and our spirits to the point that the enemy wins.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you remember people that we've talked about and talked with and spoken to, all said the same thing back then. There's many paths to God. Matter of fact, there's probably about 1,100 paths to God, according to everything that we've heard throughout the years. But it's just, and I always bring it around to this way. And this is why I love breaking stuff down. No matter what, we can come up with so many different ways and what's fascinating and what's cool and what's in the imagination and or what we'd like to see, you know, in that fascination realm as young kids and video games and all that stuff. I understand it's manipulative, it's seductive, it's cool, it's like, wow. But at the end of the day, and this is the question that I'm going to throw on to you, at the end of the day, if we're to entertain the truth, okay? If we entertain what necessarily happened, just like anything else. Listen, you break the rules, you do a crime, you pay for it. There's a punishment. There is some sort of repercussion of everything that we do, okay? So knowing those things here on earth, if we can be punished for crimes, some are the littlest things in you know, in their minds, but yet it's a major thing, and either they go on probation or the charges are pressed or anything like that. There's still an accountability. I just don't understand why people can't conceive in their brains that there is even an accountability for the life after entering the next realm. See, if we can receive good and evil or evil people here on this earth, and if we can call the police on somebody and they get arrested for breaking and entering or attempted this or attempted murder, you know, we're the first ones to say, yes, cast judgment on that person. Let's throw them in jail. Why can't we believe that there is a universal system that does that same thing, that there is that file, there is that discovery package, that all those things that you've done, that you've brushed under the rug, is still going to be exposed. So if you can believe in justice here, if you can believe in paying a penalty here, why can't you believe paying a penalty to the life after?
They don't want to, first of all. Second of all, but if you look at our justice system, there's no justice system. There's a due process system, and there's not even that. You know, in California and Los Angeles, if you get arrested for anything less than, you know, capital murder one, the jails are so crowded, you probably won't spend more than 24 hours if you stay that long. We don't expect there to be any payment because we've grown up in a society where there is none. Where you break the law, you do wrong, and you don't do the time. It's funny you said, you know, that comment about if you do the crime, you do the time. I thought you were going to go with the Tony Beretta there for a minute. but we've reached a place where everything's good. If it feels good, do it. And if I don't agree with your laws, and if enough of us don't agree with your laws, and we make a big enough stink, then your laws aren't laws anymore. And that's what they're doing with God. That's what they're doing with the Bible. I don't agree with this. I don't believe that God would be that angry to do that. Well, then you really don't understand what you're reading. He doesn't send people to hell. They just choose their eternal resting place. You know, it's funny, I was talking about that today. The actor Bill Paxton died at the age of 61 from complications. From heart
surgery. Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, complications from heart surgery went wrong and he died. And you read all the remarks about him from people in Hollywood and people that knew him. He was a great person. Everybody loved him. And they went on and on and on about a great person. And but I don't know what decisions he made about where he wanted to spend eternity. And isn't that amazing that you could do so many great things and leave such an indelible mark in people's lives, but you still have to choose where you're going to spend eternity? And I know people don't want to hear that. Well, a loving God wouldn't do that to me. No, he will honor your decision. What have you chosen? And all of this, the Wicca, the politics, the E.T., the alien gospel, the Nephilim, it all comes down to the only real knowledge is, are you born again? Is Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua, your Lord and Savior? If not, then you have made a decision that when the time comes and judgment is passed and the books are open and the files are open, like you said, you will have decided. Which, isn't that the Wiccan thing? You make your own decision. If it feels good, do it. If it doesn't hurt anybody else, do it. Well, what if it hurts you? What if it hurts yourself? I didn't think I was hurting anybody. I didn't even think I was hurting myself. And when the scales fell off my eyes, not because anybody confronted me or chastised me or judged me, it was a supernatural event where the scales fell off my eyes and I saw the truth for myself. I knew without a shadow of a doubt I needed a Savior. So if they're going to be out in the open, and they're going to be the real deal, then why don't we get out in the open and be the real deal? We are on this show. And I've watched the numbers climb, and I've watched the numbers fall. And what I've seen is there's a correlation to, if we tickle the ears like we did for a little while, and we appeal to the masses, the numbers went up. The minute we honed in the message and made it more laser-like, they dropped away. And I'm fine. I'm fine with that. because I'm never going to water it down. I'm never going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the truth as best as I know it, experientially, so that when the end comes, your decision for where you spend eternity will be good.
I totally agree with you. And that's what we have to hold. I didn't know about the numbers. We haven't recapped on the numbers. I'm not shocked to hear that, but I think that drawing that line in the sand that we did, and you know that it's not a numbers thing for us so much that we're going to tickle the ears and do the things that we want to do to get all the people to listen to us. If just a smaller group will listen to the stuff that we're talking about, then I'm fine with that, because that's what we've always wanted to do, and that's what made us different, and right, was drawing that line in the sand. So I hadn't really thought about that until you talked about the numbers and how things declined when we talk about stuff or didn't talk about certain things. But I'm okay with it. I think I can take this show tonight, and I can say what I've learned is the masking of the enticement of how everything can be so glorified and Christianity can be so looked down upon, because everything seems to have more of a glorification, a seduction, a hip look to things, and a different outlook and something fresh. And I say that we can counteract that by doing the same thing with the gospel, because it doesn't have to be old. It doesn't have to be told and said the way maybe some people have seen it on TV. I don't believe that at all. I believe we can bring that same freshness and bring that true fire and hunger back to want to know more. And that's what I'm totally believing in. I just hope that we all, as a church, can combine together and say, okay, let's come up with something that is going to bring people back, or at least have people stop and say, you know what, let me give this a relook. Let me tap back into this and get a fresher course on it. And that's what I believe we can do.
Amen. And that's what we do here on Reflections in the Dark. And we definitely do it Wednesday nights, The Porch, a Back to Basics Bible study. If you don't have one, listen. If you have questions, go to supernaturalresponse.net, firefalltalkradio.com, and let us know. There's also ways to help keep us on the air and keep us going. A lot of things coming up. I'll be excited when I can talk about them, but here's the deal, folks. We shine the light. We expose things from an experiential position. We've been there, we've been on the other side, and now we're on this side. We know what attracted people because it attracted us. But then we found the truth. Then the light bulb went on and the eyes were opened, and we've never looked back. And I will never, ever, ever look back. And the only reason we do what we do, dealing with the demonic, going into the darkness, confronting what we confront, is to help set the captives free and rescue people who were like we were. So we do that in love, and we care about you. There's no judgment. Reach out to us. Let us know. And we're going to keep doing this. 7 years in May for this and 10 years for SRT. And until the Lord comes back, we're going to keep shining the light into the darkness. I'm Richard Grund. This has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.